Elissa Walker Campbell back with you at YSR, the Quicken Loan Studios. And in our final segment tonight, we are going to go around the horn. We're going to get you ready for the 2014 Major League Baseball season as spring training is officially underway for a number of teams. And we have invited in tonight our very own at Yahoo Sports Radio, our producer, Andy Pondillo, who is always my go-to guy whenever I have a baseball question. He is big league, and it's his first time on the show. We want to welcome you in, Andy. It's great to have you with us this evening.
Well, why, thank you. It's about time to put the mastermind of this program on air.
That's so true. We certainly saved the best for last. And, you know, Andy, we've got a number of topics that I want to hit on and pick your brain, but the wait is over. I know you're very anxious about the upcoming season, but so much news this past week about Derek Jeter, his announcement that he will retire after the 2014 season. What was your reaction when you heard the news?
I think it's a good time for Jeter to retire. He's facing a lot of injury issues, barely got any at-bats last year. So it's a good time for him to go out. His defensive skills have been declining in recent years, and he still has a pretty good bat, but a lot of his other intangibles when he played have left him, the speed, the arm strength, and a lot of his power. So I think he could still be a productive hitter for maybe three or four more years, but Derek Jeter is more than just a hitter. He's the captain of the Yankees. He's a four-tool player, can do just about anything on the field. So for him to retire now, I think it's perfect timing, and for him to go out on his own words is the Derek Jeter way. I don't think he would have had it any other way.
You know, and Andy, to recap for all of our listeners too, he had a myriad of leg and ankle injuries last year, and so I guess I was not that surprised by his decision. He's going to be 40 years of age in the month of June.
Yeah, definitely, and it's 20 seasons after this year. So if he was a DH or a first baseman or a guy that really didn't have to use his mobility as much, I think he could go on a little longer with the injury that he has, but it's just time, you know. Jeter has everything he needs, 5 World Series championships. He's going to go down as one of the greatest Yankee players ever. Name's going to be right next to Lou Gehrig, Babe Ruth, all of the greats. He's going to be enshrined in that little area they have out in left center field. So it's not going to be long before there's a Derek Jeter plaque out there. And what more can you say about the guy? Just a true Yankee. And 3,000 hits, a first ballot Hall of Famer, without question.
Our very own Andy Pondillo, our producer at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, is breaking it all down for us right here this evening, the 2014 Major League Baseball season. It is just around the corner. So, you know, you were talking about Derek Jeter in terms of him being the centerpiece for the Yankees. What do you think, as far as intangibles, what distinguished him as a player?
I think his loyalty to the Yankees. He definitely could have went to another team at any point in his career. The Yankees stayed loyal to him. He stayed loyal to the Yankees, but he was also good to the fans. He was very accessible. You would always see him interacting with different charities, with different fans on the field, and he led by example. He came through clutch. It seemed like every single playoff run they had, those 5 World Series titles, if you needed a big hit, you knew Derek Jeter was going to come through. And even in defeat, he always said, you know, we'll get it next year. We're going to come back. We have a great squad. We have a great ownership. We're going to get back and do it the Yankee way. Now, you can love the Yankees. You can hate the Yankees for the way they operate and the money they spend. But if you have Derek Jeter on your team as your leader, that's a start. And every team is looking for that type of guy on their team, that type of guy that can just change the attitude. When he came into the Yankees in 1995, a lot of people don't remember the Yankees weren't a staple team at that point. They were starting to get better, yes, but you definitely look to when he joined the Yankees as to when the whole entire tide turned. They already had Bernie Williams, Tino Martinez, Paul O'Neill, but it was that guy that was able to unite everyone at the top of the order. And it's a lot to be said because every single lineup, in my opinion, Major League Baseball needs an excellent one or two hitter. You have to start with the top of the order. And then the boppers in the middle, they can operate. When you have people on base, it makes their job that much easier. We have a guy like Derek Jeter who can bang out a double, who could steal a base, and bats 300 every year. It is just an absolute weapon to have at the top.
You know, Andy, we heard a lot this past week about Derek Jeter, what was observable, that it didn't matter if it was the World Series or his first game of the season, he was consistent, as you're alluding to. He always would be prepared. He would always give his best effort, no matter what.
And that's what really sticks out in his career. You know, the 20 years that he's going to play, he batted over 300 almost every year. And when he didn't, it was usually just a tick under in the 290s. So he compiles a 316 lifetime batting average, over 3,000 hits. Not to mix in that he was a pretty good defender during his young days. And that kind of escaped him later on. But you know, people say he can't get to a lot of balls, but he also doesn't make a lot of errors. So he was a very useful player, not just with the bat, but every little bit that he did, whether it was the clubhouse, whether it was defensively, whether it was stealing a base and he needed a very heady player out on the field. And like I said, a four-tool player, probably didn't have the power to call him a power hitter, but just as good of a complete player as you're going to find for an entire 20-year span.
Andy Pondillo, our producer at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, hanging out with us on Valentine's evening. And I wanted to ask you, Andy, what are your thoughts about Derek Jeter making this announcement before the start of spring training?
I think that's just a Derek Jeter way. Everything he does is kind of Hollywood, but in New York. So everything's on that big stage for him. And he, to put it on Facebook, to let the world know by himself, not through an agent, not through some really scripted press conference. I think that was really the Derek Jeter way. And he said that he wanted to be 100% sure. He talked about it with his family during the offseason, talked about it with his friends. And they told him to think about it, to be 100% sure before he said anything. Because once you say something, you can't go back on it. Or you can, but it just kind of looks a little goofy. Kind of like Roger Clemens, who retired
right,
and then came
true.
Right back.
Uh-huh.
Retired and came back. So, you know, Derek Jeter, he wanted to be 100%, and I truly believe that this will be his last year.
Okay, so hypothetically, what if, he turns 40, as we just mentioned, in the month of June, but what if he has this incredible year? I mean, do you think there's going to be some regret on his part? Like, man, I still have it in the tank. I mean, I should keep going.
I think you see that with certain players in sports, like maybe a Tony Gonzalez who hadn't ever won a Super Bowl. But considering that Derek Jeter has the 5 World Series championships, I don't think that he's going to feel he's leaving a whole lot behind at this point.
What do you think he will miss the most, Andy, about his time away now from it's been such a huge part of his life?
I think he's just going to miss the competition. He's a competitor. He loves that one-on-one competition with the pitcher. He loves to get up there, try to outsmart the pitcher, get on base, make things happen on the base pass. And I think he's just a pure competitor of baseball. And those top-of-the-order guys, I always think they're the grittiest, the greatest competitors, the middle infielders. They're the guys that seem like they always have their nose in a lot of stuff in baseball. So I think he's just going to miss that competition.
I'll tell you what, no matter what kind of competitor you are, what sport you're in, you're going to miss, he's going to miss the guys in the clubhouse, too. Just that camaraderie and hanging out with the guys. I mean,
or maybe he wants to get out of the clubhouse with Alex Rodriguez and all those shenanigans going on. You know, the Yankees, they're still good. They're still going to compete, but they're not the Yankees of old. And I don't know if he still has that team like he used to. I think everyone respects him. He's still the captain, but I don't know if it's the same team that he grew up with the Yankees with. So I think it's a good time. It's kind of a changing of the guard over there. Brian McCann, Carlos Beltran coming in. So I think that this is a good swan song of a year for him.
Hey, we are going around the horn with Andy Pondillo, our producer at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker-Campbell. We want you to join us online at Twitter, at eRadioSports and eRadioSports.com. And we want to pause here. Andy, tell all of our listeners across the country tonight where they can check out your podcast and also follow you on Twitter.
Well, unfortunately, I'm a Houston fan, so you can follow my podcast on ClimbingTowelsHill.com. We talk a lot of Astros baseball, kind of gossip on what's going to happen in the future as they try to rebuild their organization. It's called Blasting Off again, ClimbingTowelsHill.com, and the Twitter handle @AndyYSR. Andy spelled normal, YSR following it.
Okay, so just one more quick question, one more hit on Derek Jeter. From a historical perspective, where do you think he ranks? I mean, as far as, one of the greatest shortstops of all time.
He ranks in the top 3 shortstops of all time, I think, offensively. Defensively, no. He won the 5 gold gloves. I think early in his career, he's a good defender, but he was never an excellent defender at shortstop. He did enough to say he was a good defender, but I don't know if you can put him in that upper echelon. I think his offense is what separates him. And doing it at a middle infield position, that's something you don't see very often. You'll see second baseman and shortstop have big years and then level off immediately. What makes Derek Jeter so special is how consistent he was. It's extremely hard in this era of baseball to bat 300 year in and year out, especially with the way the strikeouts are up. So for him to continue to hit 300, that's what really separates him to me.
Well, it's going to be tough to see one of the greatest Yankees say goodbye. He has meant so much to this team, to this organization, and won 5 world championships since making his debut in 1995. So, Andy Pondillo, let's take time to transition and provide for the listeners tonight a little bit of a preview on the 2014, the upcoming season. It was very eventful. And let's head out to the AL West and let's talk about the Texas Rangers. A massive change a year ago, but what are your expectations coming into this season?
It's going to be tough for the Rangers. I think they're a very strong team coming in. I think they can win the division. There's nothing saying they can't. I do look at their pitching to be a little bit thin. They have Yu Darvish, who obviously has been a sensation since coming over to Texas. Derek Holland going to miss half the season after injuring himself. Playing with his dog, he had a knee injury, so that's going to really hurt the Rangers. And then they have their prospect Martin Perez, mm-hmm. who is expected to do great things. So the rotation, while they have 3 pitchers there that could be good, It looks a little thin to me. And then offensively, they could have the best offense in the American League. The Achilles heel for the Rangers in the last few years has been their health. They've had a lot of trouble keeping their pitching healthy. And they've had kind of a changing of the guard, as you said. Now with Prince Fielder coming in, Ian Kinsler out, I expect them to win 88 games. I don't know if they're going to get to 90 wins. I just don't like their starting pitching. I think Derek Holland's too much of a blow. But the AL West is not the best division in baseball. And right now, I think it's wide open for a lot of these teams, probably besides the Astros, to be able to take it.
Okay, just a few more minutes this weekend at YSR, the Big E Sports Show, with our producer, Andy Pondillo. So let's talk about, you were just mentioning your podcast. Let's talk about the Astros, because they have struggled mightily over the past couple of years. I know they're rolling up their sleeves, and the rebuilding process just continues, doesn't it?
It continues, but it's starting to get to where it needs to be, because what happened was the Astros changed ownership a few years ago, and when you do that in baseball, baseball is more of a planning sport. You can't just go out there and win. It's not football where there's parity, where any team can win a Super Bowl every year. Baseball, it takes a little time to build an organization that can win a World Series. So when they changed ownership, they changed the plan entirely, gutted the entire team, gutted the farm system, and started from scratch. It's kind of a hybrid thing that really, I don't know if any organization has ever gutted it quite like the Astros did. And now they have the number one farm system in baseball. So they're starting to get to that point where they have their top prospects starting to get to the major leagues. Mark Appel, Carlos Correa, two guys that you're going to have to look out for in the coming years, but they're not quite there yet. And that means the Astros aren't quite there yet. I think they get out of the basement. I don't think they're the worst team in baseball this year, because they have a good collection of young pitching. Brett Oberholzer, Jared Cozart, then they acquired Scott Feldman, a veteran, but should help the staff as he can eat up some innings. So you have a couple good young pitchers, and then a couple of good young players that are on the way. George Springer, Jonathan Singleton. So a lot of these names, you probably don't know who they are right now, but you will very soon. And what it is when you have a group of prospects like this, mm-hmm. not all of them are going to turn out, but if you get two or three of them that hit big, it can change a whole organization just in 24 hours, it seems like.
Well, the Houston Astros, as I understand, they were very aggressive in the offseason, then in years past, and they're looking to move forward. We will definitely have you back once again, and as we continue to break through and break down the AL West, it's always a pleasure to have you and work with you each and every week. Thank you, Andy.
I appreciate it. I enjoyed it.
And we also want to take time to thank all of our guests in our lineup tonight. Of course, we were just visiting with our producer, Andy Pondillo from Yahoo Sports Radio, doing a great job previewing the 2014 Major League Baseball season. Jason Peter with our weekly Under the Helmet segment. Also, a very special thank you to Fred Claire, the former executive vice president and general manager for the Dodgers, James Hale, the senior writer with OU Insider, and Janice Burke, the CEO of the Houston Sports Authority. Remember, don't drink and drive. Join us each and every weekend at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, and enjoy your Valentine's Day. We will see you next week.